Got swapped out just recently.
I will open the Joint Interim Task Force on Capital Construction Budget Process. The first item on the agenda is adoption of task force rules. Do we have a motion?
I move we adopt the rules.
Okay. Any objection? Hearing none, motion passes. The next item on the agenda is discussion of task force work plan and objective. Can you go over the remaining items that we have, which is actually, can I do a preface to that? Here is, unfortunately, the situation we are in. In the interim, when, or in the biennium in which this task force was created, we spent most of our time on the task force on the underlying budget process and didn't get to this task force until the very end of the biennium. So we didn't actually accomplish many of the tasks that were provided for us. So we extended it. Now the reality is we will not actually get to very much of it in 2016, and we'll have to do it all in 2017. So the reality of that is we're going to need to develop a work plan that gets us within the January, May, and September legislative days, and maybe a couple of meetings during the 2016 session to get whatever we're going to actually produce done, so we don't have to go back for a second extension. So can you go over the items that actually are left? And I think some of them are pretty easy, although I don't know if it's noted. We did actually review the statute, so I think that in that particular case, that might, in a sense, also almost mirror what we did in the budget process, in that we would have LFO and DAS review those statutes and make a recommendation to the committee. I mean, I think that's the easiest option in that area to see if there are changes that need to be made in terms of ambiguous language, archaic language, things of that nature. But if you'll go over those remaining items.
Mr. Chair, members of the task force, a couple of just items to point out is this task force is, in terms of its charge, in terms of its construction, is mirrors the task force that was created last session in 2013. We have a new reporting date, October 15th of 2016. You have before you the report that we submitted at the end of last interim. I will note that we had three meetings last interim, and much of our discussion focused on, we did identify the statutes that affected the capital construction budget process. There were only a handful of identified. We did have and were presented the state-owned building list. The one thing we never did get to was looking at the university system and getting a complete list of that information. What we left on the table, we had several issues left on the table, which was the establishment of a comprehensive list of all state-owned property with current condition and deferred maintenance needs, as we did struggle with defining deferred maintenance and accounting for deferred maintenance in long-term projections of cost for future capital construction projects. Discussion of a process for the submission, evaluation, and financial estimate of capital construction projects. We did and were presented with several models of how other states do this process. Alaska, we saw that model, and Utah was presented to us. Alice Vivell presented to us some ongoing planning and new work they are doing at DAS around long-term planning and possible models that we could use. We never did take any action as to make a recommendation or to do a comparison of how we do our process and how that would potentially fit into a model that both Alaska and Utah use. And then we also, the evaluation of capital construction budgeting models used in other states, particularly around total lifetime cost of ownership model, which was a Washington state model, and the capital project prioritization model, which is the Utah model. And so we did leave those issues on the table at the end of last interim, and we concluded our work and ran into 2015 session, which is part of why we are here again.
I can start off with comments and maybe a request to DAS, actually. We hadn't received the information from the universities last time, but it appears, and it's not actually in the statutory authority, that perhaps we may want to look at what we request in terms of a list of state facilities, in terms of narrowing that list by some criteria. Because one of the reasons we got a list, I think that was 34 pages, single-spaced, was we included everything down to every rest stop building that we actually have. And I think the underlying intent may be more to look at more substantial state structures, and that will narrow the list to some degree, although the list will still be pretty extensive. And the same would be true for the universities. Maybe not a not a pump station, you know, but literally, you know, residence halls, classroom buildings, research buildings. Is there any way that we could actually come up with a criteria to narrow the list? And I mean, it's not exactly the charge, but it's a more realistic charge, and would actually give you probably a better view of just what's out there.
Yeah, and Senator Dillon, I can tell you that we've been working with the General Government Subcommittee. 2 years ago, we were given some money to do assessments of state buildings. We've been actually very, very bad historically with having an idea. Our maintenance folks are really good at maintaining the buildings that we have and doing patches, but we've been really bad at forward planning when things are going to come due. And so it's kind of on a what's the highest priority right now? And 2 years ago, the General Government Committee gave us some money to do assessments of all of our state-owned buildings. We presented that this last legislative session. We've been doing a rollout of those. So we started with the DAS-owned buildings, which are the primary things that you see out on the Capitol Mall. Those are all DAS-owned buildings to do the maintenance on, with the exception of the transportation building. So our goal has been to put together this comprehensive plan going forward, so we have some really good ideas. When do we need to do a repair? When should we do refurbishments? When should we actually talk about breaking buildings down? We've been rolling out, and we were approved to do Department of Corrections, Representative Smith, correct me if I'm wrong, corrections, I think Fish and Wildlife, and there's one other one, Forestry maybe was the other one, for this biennium. So we're continuing to do that rollout. And as we get more sophisticated on this, we'll be working with the General Government Committee on the plan for keeping our buildings up to date and moving forward. We don't have that information for the university system, and so that's the big gap that we've got right now. So we can do what you're asking on the state-owned buildings. We have a harder time on the university side.
Well, have we made any sort of request to the university system since last year? Or?
I don't know if we've made any requests to them directly. I'll have to check on that one.
I think we can probably do that.
Yeah.
I think for some of the universities, they actually have pretty good systems.
Yeah.
For some, they probably do not.
So. Correct.
Senator Gerard.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Cloture. I think the most important thing we have to do before we actually ask for a list of what needs to be done is to define maintenance, both deferred and non-deferred, so that there's a clear indication, at least to the colleges, we expect you to do this sort of maintenance. But, you know, maybe an HVAC that's 40 years old, that's a whole different ballgame. So I think we need to get into the to the details. But I think that definition in its own right is essential and should be one of the major goals that we have on this committee.
Okay. And I think along those lines, I think we could, even though it was not the reason this bill came about, we could look at the former governor's executive order, which is actually still in place, which is sort of a prioritization document, which we might agree with or not agree with. And I think part of the problem some of us had with it was, well, one was there wasn't seem to be a basis on, a needs basis on it in terms of what the actual needs were. Two, it expanded some of the scope of the state's involvement beyond what was historical. And three, be honest, it kind of mentioned the legislature in the legend to it that, oh, by the way, this might have to be approved by the legislature. But I think actually examining that document would get to one of those issues, too, there, in terms of some prioritization process or how you would approach this based on the state's needs, because I think to some extent we are becoming the Alaska model.
Ms. Kushier, I just can't remember if in our previous conversations whether we had examples of a definition of deferred maintenance from other states, whether whether we're aware of any. I mean, does NCSL have a definition that's been used? Or Senator Gerard, would you like to take a shot at writing a definition or drafting a proposed definition?
I think it's going to vary for... It's going to vary in education than it would be for ODOT or for, you know, I know we were talking about education here, but I think each one's going to have its own criteria. I think it's not going to be one of those that can be so generalized that it just has no meaning. I think you really have to go into the weeds.
Yeah. And Representative Buckley, I'll tell you, we should actually, in one of our future meetings, bring Alice to the table and just kind of have some of these conversations, because, I mean, she's an architect licensed here and I think in Maryland as well. What she's been drilling into my head is deferred maintenance is simply maintenance that you should have done and you didn't do it when you should have. And so it's now been dragging forward.
There's a definition.
in essence. And so the bottom line is, for example, inside of the executive building, I've been in state government now for 20 years. And when I came in 1995, we were talking about we needed to replace the HVAC system on the top of that building. It has not happened in 20 years. And so that becomes deferred maintenance, and they're patching that system as much as they can. But if we had taken care of it on the front side when expected, and for state-owned buildings, there's an intersection here with what we call uniform rent, which is how much we charge ourselves to do this kind of work. And so we really should bring Alice in front of you, and we can have this dialogue, and I think it'd be really helpful for the conversation to get exactly what Senator Gerard is talking
about.
Well,
I think you could get closer, in a sense, on the university level if you started to say, you know, and obviously they'll bring up the issue of what the level of state support is, but if you started to say, we know you've got this deferred list, we know that, actually, deferred maintenance, part of it is what you just identified, but part of it is the HVAC systems, part of it are fairly major components. But say, in the future, the only thing we want added to your deferred maintenance list that we will consider as part of a potential capital project are these types of items, you know, replacement of HVAC systems, replacement of roofs.
Asbestos removals.
Yeah, just so that we start to limit and build an expectation, and that's going to have to be built into budgets actually also.
That's correct.
That at the state level that the routine things that, and we're sitting in this building right now, which is probably a demonstration of lack of the routine things we're going to expect that are budgeted in the future as part of normal operating. So,
and Senator Devlin, I'll tell you, when I was working on the human services as an analyst in budget and management division, the entire state hospital, when we had the old building, had $1.3 million set aside for maintenance costs. That was not even close to being enough to cover what the needs were. So it is a relationship with the budget and how much we build in there. We have not been good at that.
Okay, so can Representative Buckley and I work with both of you to develop a real work plan that over those three interim period of legislative days plus maybe a couple meetings during the short session, we can actually have a work plan that gets us to the end of this in literally like five meetings. That's about what we will have, at least to make a report and recommendation to the legislature. Ken, is that possible?
Absolutely.
Okay. Peter?
Yes, sir. I've got nothing to say, nothing to add to this.
Well, the good news is I have no task force bills in this session. I have none. Do you have any? Any task force bills?
Any task force bills?
Yeah.
No, not yet.
No, but you've already used your two bills.
No, right? I just lost one a couple minutes ago.
Oh.
I already lost. It's November, I lost.
Yeah. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So do we feel like we as a state have a good, firm grasp of all the infrastructure that we own? You know, in previous meetings, we had a conversation, and we were unsure about what buildings we did have. Has that been resolved? to where we know each agency, what they have?
I think we're pretty good on what we own. I think we're not very good on the condition of what we own.
Right. Okay. I just wanted to make sure, though, the fundamental question of what do we own, we do have a grasp on that. Okay.
That's what my understanding is.
Yeah, so I think it's been a process to get there.
Right.
Because there's multiple databases that we have to ping against. And I'll give you an example. When Alice started doing this work, we looked at one of our buildings and we looked at what was in one of the databases. And because people haven't been looking at this stuff very closely, we had one that popped up that we had 1 million square foot in a building. And we looked at it and went, there's no way we have 1 million square foot. Where is it? And it was supposedly out on one of the streets out there in the Kaiser area. And the person had just put an extra zero. It was like 100,000 square foot. And they screwed it up. I think that we do have the list now, the buildings. Do we have complete accuracy? I wouldn't say not yet.
Yeah.
But also what Alice is also trying to do is also not just get the owned buildings, but the lease space as well. Because there's a big conversation. We know when leases now are going to expire, and we can project based on geographic regions, so we can start to get more strategic about it. So I think we've got it. I would not say that we're completely 100% accurate.
Follow-up question?
Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So in my private sector world, I do commercial lending, and we have to go through annual audits, and quite often the auditors want to know the condition of collateral. And without having to go through formal evaluations, they send us a form. They say, you know, rate your collateral. Is it excellent, good, fair, needs additional work, unacceptable? How come we couldn't ask our directors and our agencies to do an informal assessment of their buildings? We're not asking them to be professionals. We're not asking them to be appraisers or architects, but to be able to give us just a general sense of the condition of each one of their buildings. And that way, if they have one that they say is excellent, we know we don't have to, for the most part, worry about it. But those that are on the lower end might perhaps merit additional professional consideration of looking at it. How come we couldn't do something as simple as that? And just ask each agency director, give us an evaluation.
And Representative Smith, we've been trying to actually get not the subjective, but objective. I mean, part of what we've been doing with the assessments, as you know, have been bringing in engineers and architects to look at some of these buildings, and you've seen some of the high-level reports we got on them. So we are doing that with the bigger buildings, and we've tried to target the agencies that have the most ownership, so we're not spending time on the ones that have just small pieces here and there.
So I guess where I'm going with this is, you know, we take a look at our current inventory list of all state-owned buildings, and we just create those categories. Yeah. And again, it we know that there may be some inaccuracy in there, but it gives us a general idea of which of those buildings are on the lowest end. So then when we are having conversations, we can look at that and say, you know, ODF&W is telling us this thing's horrible. As an example. Yeah. Anyway, just a thought.
And Representative Smith, one of the things we run into is that they, because they may not have expertise in this, they have different perspectives. And a lot of the agency folks will be looking at what's this look like, their experience, without looking at the bones and the systems inside the building. So you may look really bad inside of an area or really good, and it really isn't touching the HVAC systems and electrical systems.
That's part of what we need
to know. Just as a demonstration, because you might be aware of this, can you give us an idea of what you've identified for problems at that little building that's at the end of the mall down here, the business and industries building, the one that's nobody actually...
On Winter Street.
Yeah.
Which one?
The labor and industries building.
That Department of Consumer Business Services is in now? Or are you talking about
the one down here. The one down here, where the Department of Labor isn't even in, but the treasurer has offices in it. It's one of the older buildings on the mall. I think you did an analysis on that building.
Yeah, and I believe that's one of the buildings that they've identified they need to do some more work on inside. We can get the specifics of that because all the ones here on the mall we've done an assessment on, and so we have some information on them.
But, I mean, I think that's an example of a long-time deferred maintenance.
Correct.
One of the analysis that we did have done that actually came up with some pretty good information, and some of it a little bit surprising, was the OYA analysis. Because while they identified the normal problems we would expect for like McLaren and Hillcrest, some of the newer OYA facilities, newer being 15, 20 years old, actually were identified with a number of deferred maintenance items that would have normally could have been covered if we had budgeted for them. I'm not saying we had the resources to budget for them, but even buildings that are that old, still things weren't being done on a regular basis.
So. And Senator Devlin, OIA was one of, DAS and OIA were two that we did last biennium that we got started on.
I've got a question. See, that really bothers me that, because when we pass a budget for, say, an agency, I would just assume that general maintenance is included in that budget. And so now all of a sudden we're being hit with all this deferred maintenance, but that just, for some reason, that just really doesn't sit well with me.
I think sometimes agencies overtly budget for deferred maintenance.
And then spend the money somewhere else.
No, but I think the reality is that, you know, in, I'm not so sure, I'm not being critical here, but I'm not sure agencies haven't identified issues at times, certain agencies. They've gone up through the budget process, and deferred maintenance has not necessarily been the priority in that period of time. And so it doesn't make the final cut of the governor's recommendation. And sometimes even if it's in the governor's recommendation, it doesn't make the final cut in terms of the legislature's deliberations on it. I mean, what was the number for all corrections? I mean, all corrections, it's like $15 million, which is, that's their deferred. I think it's about 15, which is a...
Well, I think, you know, another problem is the... I mean, Representative Smith hasn't been engaged in the discussions on bonding as much as the other three of you. But in those discussions, you know how the new and the fancy and the pretty building gets ranked much higher than the deferred maintenance need. And that's the one that usually comes off the list first or gets reduced in order to build a new building. So I think that's just a structural problem in the way decisions are made, that it gets shoved to the side because all the emphasis is on the new and the bigger, better, newer things. So. And universities, for example, always come forward with a package for deferred maintenance, and many times trimmed down, pushed down, made smaller.
And I think it gets trimmed down a couple of times because they come in at first with a bigger number, then they want another project, so they cut the number down, and then we cut it down a little bit more.
But I think kind of the consensus, at least correct me if I'm wrong, was we are going to really be pushing for more deferred maintenance and less major buildings. So,
To follow what Senator Girard's saying, there's three steps into this. I mean, the first one is there money built into agency budgets for maintenance costs, not deferred maintenance? Because what Ken's talking about is we actually issue debt to cover deferred maintenance issues. And that was on the first one, the maintenance side, my example with State Hospital, $1.3 million is not nearly enough to keep up with maintaining that building at the time. So I would, Senator, I would argue that we probably don't build in enough on the maintenance side. We then move into what Ken's talking about. We don't give them enough to keep up with the deferred maintenance side. So it's just getting bigger and bigger and bigger as we go farther. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. To add to that too, if I going through the allotment process, you know, when we're in crisis, we tend to take anything that we can to balance out that doesn't impact services. So it means services take the priority, and then that just makes that cycle even more challenging, because for 2 years or 4 years, even that 1.3 for the state hospital probably didn't get spent, probably got put over on program costs.
Okay. Well, we'll work with both of you, Peter and I will, and try to get a work plan out in December. Can we get it out to the committee in December?
Sure.
Yeah.
And I think one of the models that Aaron was mentioning that we had talked about before, the other state models, where when they do their bonding decisions, they actually build in the requirement for deferred maintenance costs to be part of the whole package. And so I think that's something that we should probably look at.
Okay. Anything else today? If not,
did it?
Which we had an interesting experience in there.
Body mass.
Have you looked at her screen?